Hello and welcome to episode 115 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined once again by Bro and Ellen Harv. On this episode, we recap the match 2.0. We got Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. Very enjoyable watch. We got lots to talk about, some highlights, some lowlights, some just general noticeable critiques, let's call it. We also have from Golf Life Alberta, Leah Bathgate-Snethen joins us to talk a little bit about their bracket that we used as a guideline, let's say. That's the nice way of putting it, I think, for ours. As well as we talked a little bit more about the Alberta Golf Tour. So thanks to Leah for joining us. And then after that, Bronell's prepared a special top five, smashing up football and golf. What do you got, Bronell? Top five PGA, current PGA professionals who could be football players?
Yeah, who could play professional football. Yeah.
Okay. So we got that coming up. Lots to talk about on this show. Before we get started, though, we want to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DRIVETHEGREEN. And while you're on there, you may have noticed on our social media channels that the boys at Drive the Green, along with Chase at Player Golf, have put together a mashup of a couple of t-shirts for our fans and for their fans to purchase. If you'd like, use a promo code.
And then wear.
And then wear afterwards. Soft cotton tri-blend t-shirts that are just so good. I know we've got a lot of good feedback on the designs, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So the pre-sale is until May 31st. So pick yours up. You got to order it by May 31st. And they'll be shipping out, I think, June 8th. And then after that, they'll just be one-offs on the site. But we're trying to do a little pre-sale so we can get those out to our fans. So thanks to everyone who's already placed an order. Again, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. And might as well use the promo code DRIVETHEGREEN while you're there.
Yep.
Let's get into our weeks here before we start and before we get into the match. Another week's gone by. You guys do anything this week? You guys golfed a lot.
We played twice.
You guys golfed, including recently. You guys golfed and I built a garden box on one of the, arguably the nicest day of the year.
Yeah.
Well, today might have beat it.
Yeah. A little windier today, but you guys went golfing in scoring conditions, and boys, you scored.
Finally.
I guess.
So you've played, what, three rounds now, or four?
Four.
Yeah. And you were what, 80, 85, 84, 83, 76?
No. 85, 84.
80.
80.
80.
Yeah.
76.
Yeah. So peaking.
Yeah.
Early. Didn't take long to shake off the rust. Because you were complaining about 220 days between swings, and then we realized afterwards you've been swinging indoors for a while.
But one of the things about indoor golf, and that I've had problems with this year, no sand shots. I've had a bunch of struggles out of the bunkers this
year.
You
have. I have noticed that.
And that's the one thing you don't get with indoor golf, right? You don't get the feel.
Well, what do you mean? It feels the same as rough, doesn't it?
Sort of, I guess.
But yeah, finally made some putts with that tiny little hole with the pin in.
I think you're mentally getting over the pin being in, and that's helped your game tremendously.
Yeah. What percentage of golf do you think is mental?
We go back
75?
To, I'd say like 92.
Yeah, I would say 85.
I mean, you need to have some sort of mechanical swing that's going to work.
I was going
to
say, if you're for a good golfer, once you've figured it out with your swing, I would say it becomes 90%.
Yeah.
But until you're actually like a single-digit handicap, like figure it out swing-wise, it's like 60-40.
I'll give you that.
I think a lot of it is swing until you get, and the better you get, the more mental it gets.
I'll give you that.
Yeah,
for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Do anything else?
No, I guess. Are you asking him or me?
Just you in general. You two have been the two that have been golfing more than I have.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how, like, for the past, like, 3 years, my game has been erratic off the tee and just get up and down from everywhere. And then this year, it's the complete opposite.
It is.
The complete opposite.
You're Costanzaing it.
Yeah, like, I've hit more fairways in four rounds this year than I hit in the last three years of golf. And that's like 50 to 60 rounds a year.
That's not even an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
And now you're chip shanking chips.
Yeah, now I'm shanking chips all over the place.
Been there before.
Like, it just makes no sense. So I mean,
prior to this happening, we golfed our first two rounds together, and then your last two have been together without me. So I haven't even seen this. Like, you were still a little erratic off the tee, and I mean, I guess at that point, only two rounds, you don't really put two and two together that he's not chipping and putting. So I'm excited. We're going to put in some miles here over the course of the next week. So I'm excited to see where these games have brought you boys.
Well, you take me to a different course, and it's
all just when you get all bets are off.
Yeah, just when you get comfortable at your home course, hey, and then you got to go and transplant you into somewhere else.
With some gusties.
Don't know where the second fairways are in the new course. Yeah,
getting hit the wrong fairway. And, well, you never know. We're playing an open course, and then we're playing a tight course. So you might be able to find the opposite fairways on a couple of those. Don't want to let the cat out of the bag on where we're playing just yet.
I hope so. I might just have to hit rat hook four irons off the tee every hole.
Except yes. When you tried to hit that rat hook on 11 yesterday, and it just kind of like flared and floated out to the left.
Yeah. It went up in the air, and it said, fuck this, I'm just doing whatever I want. And
yeah, it was like it wasn't hit bad, but it was also still like a knuckleball in the air. Like, it just kind of spun around up there and landed, I don't know, probably 20 yards shorter than you wanted it to.
How about that pop fly hook with the brand new DTG Pro V off the first tee I hit yesterday? Who gets a pop fly hook? How does that even... I've never done that before.
And you lost it?
Lost it.
Yeah.
Lost Pro V first shot.
Because I said, right before I hit, you can't lose a ball in this hole. I'm taking out a brand new ball. You can't lose a ball. Hit it in the only place that you could possibly lose it.
It made no sense. Like, it was, I don't know, a mile in the air. It hooked about 30 yards, and it still went probably like 260. Like, it just made no sense. Like, none of that ever makes sense.
Can't lose it. Can't lose this ball.
So
there's very few lost balls on our home track.
Free advertising for us, though. You're welcome, boys.
Yeah, so whoever finds that ball.
So you made a flower bed. How many drinks?
So I purchased some lumber and, made a, I don't know, it's 5 feet long by 3 feet wide.
Nice.
And 30 inches tall. So, I mean, it's pretty sturdy box, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking it up pretty good, and the picks are pretty nice, but
yeah, so I did that.
I mean, it doubles as a coffin when you die. Yeah. So
I took a picture of my dad in it. Dad was around. He did not help me. He was around.
I don't know if you were just in like denial or mad or something, but like, you were trying to make it sound like that was more fun than playing golf yesterday.
Exactly.
What's going on here?
I'm not gonna say what it was. I can say is I started at about one. You guys, your tee time was at 2, and so I thought, well, there's a chance that I'm not going to golf with you guys, but I might be able to get on the course for twilight. So I had 5 hours roughly pegged for building that thing, 1 to 6.
Yep.
Get out on the course, get fly probably at 6, and get 18 in 2.5 hours, maybe less, probably 2.
So it took you longer than 5?
It took me about 6. It was 7. Holy shit. It was 7 o'clock, so I didn't quite want to just say I'm going to the golf course at 7.
Well, measure twice, cut once, and you probably shave some hours off that.
It cost me $125, and then my wife told me that today she was at the garden center to buy flowers for said box, and she saw one that pretty much the identical box for like $450.
Oh yeah, I built it for $125. It's so much cheap, and that was gonna be my takeaway. Like, I'm by no means a woodworker or a whatever you want to call it. I don't even know the term.
Craftsman.
It was made of wood, so I just put it back where it
is. But I've made a few things. I built a deck off the front of my house this year. I have no idea what lumber costs. Like, I could go in there and be like budgeting like $500 and it's like $80 worth of wood. And then I'll go in and be like, oh, I need like $60 here, and it's like $250. Like, I have no idea.
Spoiler alert, it's expensive now.
I have no idea what lumber costs.
At no point when we were loading all these boards into my truck, I was just like, I actually have no idea what this is going to cost.
Yeah.
And like, then she said $125. I'm like, I don't, am I happy?
Is that good?
When you're going grocery shopping, you kind of like, you're picking everything you need. And when you're up to the till, you're like, meh, $250. And you're usually pretty close.
Yeah.
But lumber. Yeah. Like, they could have told you $350 and you'd probably been like, Yeah, probably.
whatever you say, sir.
There's no number that would surprise me.
You know I'm not in my natural habitat here. You could probably just hose me if you want.
This guy knows. Yeah. And then on top of that, today's the 20th. We're taping this on the 25th. I'm at 40 drinks.
I'm sure you had a couple to celebrate your garden box on Saturday.
No, that was yesterday. That was yesterday, yeah. Sunday. I had a single Caesar while building that.
Like out of a bottle, or you made one?
My dad made me one. Hmm. He saw my hard work, and he said, "Son, you want a Caesar?" And I hate Clamato juice, always have. But for some reason, I can have like one Caesar every 4 months, and that's my clam fix.
You're not a big tomato guy, hey?
Well, ketchup.
Yeah. Right, ketchup on everything. What's ketchup on everything?
Yeah. All right, moving on.
What kind of stupid question is that?
That's the answer.
Tomatoes and sugar. Well, you never had it? All right, let's get into the match. So while I was building this box, TV in my dad's garage was glued. So maybe that's actually what took 6 hours
to
build the box, is because I'd measure a board, I'd take it over to the saw, cut it, and then go watch the hole. And then go to commercial, go measure another board, cut it, watch it. So very little commercials.
Yeah,
which was awesome.
That was the takeaway.
So a lot of less commercials.
Ratings were through the roof.
Ratings through the roof. Little commercials, which led to more chatter. Chatter, I think, is where I was getting at. Of chatter. I thought it was fantastic. Like, we thought that last week's match with those four was going to blow the first one away, which it kind of did. But no one was expecting this one to be this good, I don't think. Like, they hit it with commentators, they hit it with play, they hit it with back and forth.
JT was excellent.
Yeah, JT and Balionis, they were so good.
This is how they have to do it, with those, whatever you want to call them, Pimp My Ride carts that they had with the cameras in it, mic'd up. This is how all of these things should be done. My biggest takeaway was those carts were flying. Like, they were cruising up the fairway.
Yeah, I thought, well, they have the course themselves.
Hydroplaning.
Hydroplaning.
Zero etiquette was observed. Peyton Manning pulled it up like 3 feet off the green at one point.
There was a bunch of those, right up on it, almost onto tee boxes. Yeah. They were just like, yeah, we can do whatever we want here, boys.
On two wheels.
But I could see if they were doing that on a dry course, but the fact that it was soaking wet. One of the other takeaways is how well Medalist was taking on that water. Like, it was pouring, very little standing water.
And before that they started, when it was in the 45-minute delay, they showed pictures of the course, and there was just water everywhere. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they, whatever, squeegeed, or maybe they were squeegeeing.
They could have been, like, working one hole ahead.
That's
probably
thinking.
Why, yeah. But that I always – I think my favorite part of it was – that they had, you had the good that is the PGA Tour in the Tiger and Phil. So hitting great shots, talking constantly with amateurs about the shots they're hitting and getting that insight. But then you also had the amateurs hitting good shots and terrible shots. So it like had everything that you would want in, and I think that's why the ratings were so good, is because that's what drew people in. I mean, doesn't hurt that it was Tom Brady and Peyton Manning to bring all the fringe people in. But if that's what they got to see, I saw a couple of things on Twitter. It's like, oh, who knew golf would be entertaining on TV for all these new people that are seeing it? Granted, I don't know how many of those people are sticking around for PGA Tour events.
I think the no commercials was huge. Like, you didn't have a chance to flip the channel away.
Yeah. Also, why my box took so long. Because I was thinking, they're going to commercial. The commercial either didn't happen or was won.
Well, in Canada, maybe there's no commercial. Maybe there's no commercials because what fucking channel was it on?
I still don't know. Headline News Network.
You didn't even get to tape it.
I couldn't. I haven't watched it because I chose to golf. Obviously, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, you always choose playing over watching. Yes. No matter what.
So I don't care if it was.
So,
like,
Bruno's just going to sit in the corner while Harv and I talk about how good the match was.
Well, I got takeaways. Tom Brady stinks. You got lucky with that eagle.
Bruno's highlights from his Twitter feed.
I have two big Tom Brady things One, I thought it was great, and you'll like this one, that Peyton Manning said if it wasn't for Olivia Manning, Tom Brady would have 11 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, I thought that was great, yep.
So that was good. And two, yes, he split his pants. But the biggest thing was when he went to tee up his ball and went to lean on his club, and it was so wet on the tee box, the club like slipped forward.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
And he did like an almost face plant and saved it.
Oh, that would have been great.
But
yeah, like Tom, Peyton was pretty good. I mean, Phil was good, but I think, I know Bruno doesn't like it, but I think Tom Brady was the best thing, the best takeaway of that whole event. Like, he was funny. I mean, he provided the best moment with that hole out and then getting into it with Chuck. I don't think he's the best personality by any means, but I think he provided the best takeaways. Like that Twitter post today, PGA Tour posted of him saying, like, I get into the top of my swing and I know I'm off and I'm like, this is bad, this is bad. Should I just swing harder? Probably. Tiger's like, yeah, I'd do that too.
Yeah, he was definitely the most relatable.
Well, and everyone talked to him. Like, no one really, like the announcers, like Charles Barkley, like Brooks Koepka phoned in and talked to him. Like, everyone was talking Tom Brady.
I also found it odd that a lot of times Tom had his earpiece out.
Just well, it wasn't working for a while.
Oh, is that what it was?
And then Phil was using the earpiece as an excuse for a little bit there about how it kept, like, static kept going when he was, like, mid-swing and he was missing the greens and stuff.
That's why he couldn't back up that one driver, probably.
Yeah, that was a good shot. On
that par four.
Backspin.
Speaking of Phil, that stupid
the formula
that he came up with before was the dumbest thing I've ever seen that guy produce, and he does a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to bring up the formula.
I'll always laugh when he calls his shots attractive.
Oh, yeah. Like when he hit that little chip and he's just like, oh, that does it for me. That's so attractive.
What I thought was crazy about his chips was how, like, when him and JT were talking about the one chip he had, and he went into things that he was looking at that 99.9% of the golfers in the world wouldn't even think of. He's like, this is a little darker, so I know it's doing this.
Yeah,
you can see the water there. I know it's going to skid, so I got to bounce it back a little bit.
Yeah, that was good.
And, like, yeah, maybe tour pros think like that, but I also think he was maybe hamming it up for the
yeah,
viewers
but that's okay.
A little bit.
I'm okay if they're
doing
that.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Because, it was way better than the first time when they didn't really do any of that because it was just the two of them. Like, you need to have the amateurs there to provide teaching moments to the people sitting at home. Yep. And I think that's really what made it the best for viewers.
What was Tiger?
Tiger
funny
was doing
at all, or?
Tiger was, I mean, it was okay.
He played really well, I heard.
Oh, he played unbelievable. Unreal.
I wonder what he would have shot solo because I don't think he missed a fairway.
He played unbelievable, and he was providing like a lot of the coaching came when they got on the greens. Just like a lot of talking about you only have to hit it to here. Like Tom Brady, the one time, feels like all you have to do is to hit it right here and it'll feed right down. You'll be fine. Tom proceeds to hit it 15 feet past the hole. and then JT goes, Phil got the read. This is probably going right in the center of the cup. Sure enough, Phil from 15 feet dead in the heart. Like they don't miss
when they know.
Yeah. When they know. Right. Yeah. So, but it was just funny to see Tom flaring shots and then, what was it Charles said 50,000 if you hit the he's like 50,000 if you hit the green here, Tom. And then Tom Brady hits it, I don't know, 15 to 20 yards right of the green. And then Chuck's just like, well, I guess I'll keep my money.
Just the best Barkley interaction was when JT just dunked on him hard. Oh, he's like, I like to see your fat ass dunk these days, Charles.
And then Charles said his bullying. Did you see that?
I bet he still could dunk.
Well, yeah. Probably.
He's like 6'8", isn't he?
He's 6'9", I think, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't know. His leg, like his calves and anything below the knee are still super skinny. I don't know if he can go up and then down and support it.
I mean, he's got probably has one dunk left in him in his life.
Just
like,
one,
like,
yes.
Like when you're like, I got like maybe like one fight left in me.
Yeah.
I've never had one to begin with. So I was going to say. I got one left.
I've always had one. Yeah.
I've gotten a fight before.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So... You got any more?
Yeah. Okay. Here's a big one.
You got any more? Bruno's got he's got a few more tweets he's got to read.
No, I was going to get into who
you guys
want to see next.
Are you guys aware of how long the amateur's long drive was? on their long drive hole?
Oh, I know. Get Brono the guess.
Tom Brady won it. What do you think he hit it?
Here, let me. It's in the rain over-under? Too. Can right? I set yeah. the over under?
Sure.
Well, 242.5 over under.
Under then.
Okay.
My guess was going to be 220.
Yeah, it's 221.
Oh man!
So what were you doing with the over under stuff?
And Manning hit it 220. He won by 1 yard.
And I actually seriously didn't see that on Twitter today.
No, but I was trying to figure out if you would think that they hit it more than 242 yards or not.
No, not in the rain.
Okay.
I would have thought more.
Yeah, I would have said I would have said around 240. 240 would have been a hard decision for me.
Another big thing when after Brady holed that out for birdie on a par five, then Tiger almost did the ultimate one upper.
Yeah, and power lipped it.
Power lit like 360 from like 50 feet.
Yeah,
like it was almost like he almost like won that hole for eagle.
They were still talking like so pumped about Brady hitting it, and then Tiger had an eagle putt and power lipped it.
Yeah, and Brady was like, "Don't you do that to me?
And they still tied the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was like Brady's hole out was incredible. His mic flew off, everything. The biggest take, like, that's the highlight moment when they even put this thing together that they were hoping to get.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, give me 4 to 5 highlights and a little bit of chatter just so that people will come back.
Yeah. Manning canning that 30 or 20 footer for birdie to win the hole on the par three.
I think the production hole out was
scripted somehow. Like, there's magnets in there.
How did that thing spin like that? A little aggressive on the spin for a shitty golfer.
Yeah.
Wasn't very good. There's no way that guy's an 8 handicap.
The whole front nine, he was getting just raked over the coals on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wasn't very good.
If this guy's an 8 handicap, then I'm an NFL quarterback was like every single tweet.
And then the last thing I had was just Barkley's charity hole.
Oh, I didn't even watch it. I turned it off.
He played 18. If he made bogey, they would have donated $300,000. If he made par, $400,000. If he birdied, $500,000. He gets up there.
Did he triple it?
Tops his first shot. hits a good one for the next one. Hits it on the green, then three putts for double. So no money. But the funniest part is that JT was following him up there and like giving him tips. And when he was hitting his third shot onto the green, like Barkley's like standing by his ball and JT's like right beside him. And just the difference in those two human beings was just unbelievable. Like JT's what, like
5'9"?
5'9", like 160 maybe. And Barkley's like 6'9", like 350. Like, it honestly looked like JT could like crawl inside him and just wear him as a suit. it was funny to see. That's what I thought.
So, what's the next one going to be? Who do you guys think?
Are we keeping Phil and Tiger? Do you think Phil and Tiger is their thing now?
Well, gotta give them another one after this one. I think. Hey, like they've earned another one now.
I think they're starting to mesh even better and getting the hang of it. And they're only going to get older and
it's definitely more of that. Like it's 100% a four-person event now. Yes. No one cares about those two going head-to-head anymore.
Nope.
I want to see MJ and Larry Bird.
I think MJ and Larry Bird, if they're going to keep two...
Bird's a three.
And I MJ's, bet Steph Curry's in the next one.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're probably going to go... Well, maybe they go Steph Curry and MJ.
I think to try to get ratings, they have to go two athletes again. Like, you could say, like, pro-am guys, like... Timberlake and Jake Owen or whatever.
Curry and Romo guys who've played in.
Yeah, like those types. Mm-hmm. But I think like an MJ and Bird, that's a really good example. Like they can't be pro-am guys. They have to be like, well, I guess Peyton Manning plays in Pebble Beach. So it's like, okay, he's been around. But like you're not going to get hockey players. They're not going to be a draw. So basketball players. Wayne. Yeah, I guess.
But I think they got to do this with Tiger and Phil and recycle who or use whoever you want for celebrities. And then you do the tailor-made one with just golfers.
Pros.
Yeah.
Like it's two different things. This one's for golfers. This and one's Tiger, Phil, and whoever's going to draw money.
The big thing will be when they do them now. Because the PGA season is all like the next year and a half.
Yeah, this is
nonstop.
It's toast for a while now.
So when's it going to happen again? Mm. But yeah, I think like you can't really do like a Rodgers and Romo because Romo's way better.
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you say Rodgers? Just because?
Because Rodgers plays in the Pro-Am.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, okay, who are they going to use? I don't know. I really like MJ and Bird. It kind of made me stop thinking of anyone else.
Yeah, they're both pretty good, but they're not pros. Like they're both, I think MJ's around a 3-2 or
I just don't think MJ's, under 5. I don't think MJ would ever do it.
No?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Cuz I think his filthy mouth would be way too much for to be held in check.
And they'd probably pair him with Phil.
Yeah.
And he'd say fuck that.
All right, we got any quick hits this week?
Yeah, there was a couple things. I mean, the match dominated most of the news this week, but there's been a few guys voicing their concerns, I guess you'll call it, but Adam Scott came out and said that he's very surprised with how the tour's handled this whole resume to play and the testing that they're doing, and he just doesn't think it's what they're cracking it up to be, and he's probably not playing anytime soon. Same with, and Westwood and Pepperell came out and kind of said, we're not making the trip to the States. There's no point. We're going to stay here and play European Tour events when they...
Well, I think didn't they clarify that and they said they're not coming to the PGA Championship. They're not coming to the first one.
The first major, but...
Yeah, the first major.
It's not the first tournament either.
No, but like that's in August and then the rest of them are later in the year. So it's like they weren't committing to that one, but they ain't passing up the Masters. Like,
oh yeah, probably.
So they're
not
just like, we're not going to early, but we'll maybe come a
Adam
little
Scott's
bit later.
Won the Masters. He's going.
No, I was talking about Westwood and Pepperell. Yeah, so they're not traveling. Right. I think Adam. I don't know if Adam Scott's back home. He might. I don't know if he's in.
He might have gone back to Australia.
Yeah.
I know,
so
but.
I don't know where he is, but I think it's more of okay, we'll skip one, but they ain't skipping the later ones. It's just the classic. I'll take a stance now until like later, and then I'll change my mind.
Yeah. Next. Yeah.
Next.
This one, I mean, LPGA is coming back. They're giving the players an option to have no caddy. I don't know.
They're giving them the option to have
no
caddy?
An option
would
to have
anyone,
no caddy.
Would anyone exercise that option?
I don't know. That's what I thought. Like, now you can you use a push cart on a professional?
Like,
why would
not.
You carry your bag
yeah.
if you don't have to? Is it a money thing?
Just, yeah, I don't know.
But you could, if it was a money thing, just say, hey, you want to make $50?
Or if they're just, like, they actually think that the players are going to be worried about getting COVID.
Yeah, it's
got to
be a COVID
or,
thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's a COVID thing, but it just doesn't, why would you not, like,
you
a caddy isn't
person?
Some random person off the
it's
street.
It's basically a person you live with. It's pretty close to the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see anyone not doing it.
Yeah.
Huh, but. Weird. Next.
Last one, quick hitter here. Should have probably happened, I don't know, a year and whenever he signed the deal, but Rose and...
Before Torrey Pines last year.
Yeah, Rose and Honma have officially parted ways. Justin Rose, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one year. It would have been... It was before Torrey Pines, I'm pretty sure, last year.
Might have been a little bit before. Yeah. Well, I think he won there, didn't he?
Yeah. Didn't he win in his like second tournament or first tournament with him?
I think third or something like that. But yeah,
like he won shortly after making the switch,
and then stunk.
And then stunk,
reeked.
So yeah. I think no, he won RBC Heritage, didn't he? I'm not sure. I thought he held
Farmers
up
Insurance.
Farmers Insurance, yeah. Torrey Pines said,
yeah.
I had to bring the bell back.
I thought he was. I'm thinking of him
bring
in our trophy
bell.
Bracket holding that big ass trophy with the plaid jacket.
That's a Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
Mm.
But.
Yeah, so they're done. I mean, I wonder where he goes. Like, now.
Free agent.
TaylorMade's kind of.
And frankly,
got
how.
Got some new people in there with Wolf and Ricky. And are they
how,
eager
how
to have
attractive
back?
Of a guy is he? Do you think he's attractive to club makers? Like, is he a hot commodity?
I'd
is it him or was it him or the clubs?
I'd like, say out of the top 10 players in the world, he might be the least
attractive. Yes.
You mean physically?
No. Like,
no, I meant like as a player that
as
you would
package.
Go after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if I'm throwing money at a player, I don't think Justin Rose is in the top 20 of people I'm throwing money at.
He's in the top 20 for sure.
Maybe get him for cheap.
He's big. He's big in Europe.
I guess that's all he's got going for him.
But
major champion and number one in the world for a while. He's got a few things going for him.
Yeah. Right now?
Nothing now.
No, but again, is it the clubs? It's could be the answer to the riddle of where did what happened.
It's all about what have you done for me lately?
Yep. Next.
That's it. Oh, that's one it. Birthday.
One birthday.
Rafa Cabrera Bello, 36 years old today.
I didn't think he was that old.
Hmm. Do you know he's never won on the PGA Tour?
I did know that.
All right.
He's only won
200 points, all right.
He's only won 3 times on the European Tour, and they're like pretty spaced out. Won in 2017, yeah. Like 2010, like 2012 maybe.
I would have said he's like 30 tops.
Yeah, I thought he was a young guy.
Anyways.
Good news,
fellas.
No one
cares about that.
Good news, fellas. Before we get into Leah Bathgate Snetham here, we are a member of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network, and if you've listened to our show long enough, you know that it's has been sponsored in the past by Kinexys. No free ads, but they just got one. But here we go. We got a new sponsor of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network, and it's Sask Energy. So if you don't live in Saskatchewan, you don't care. And if you do live here, Sask Energy is a sponsor. So I got a new ad read here.
You're doing it?
I'm going to do it.
All right.
And I'm going to buzz through it here real quick. Are you doing any summer digging projects? Sask Energy wants to make sure you know what's below. Hitting an underground utility line can be costly and dangerous. Always plan ahead. Get a land locate for any digging projects this summer. Like if you happen to be building a deck. Not a garden box, but a deck. Whether you're building a new deck to enjoy these sunny Saskatchewan summer days or simply doing landscaping, always remember to get a line like locate done. Stay safe and save yourself the expense of contacting an underground utility line. Visit clickbeforeyoudig.com to request your free line locate today.
That's an ad for SAS First Call, not Sask Energy. But anyways.
You digress. All right.
I was gonna say I didn't know what the ad read was going to be. But also, that's exactly what I thought the ad read was going to be. It's something about digging. Like, you don't want to hit
call
a line.
Call before you dig.
Yeah, call before you dig.
Yeah.
So with that Sask Energy ad read, now we're going to get into Golf Life Alberta.
Shout out to Sask Water, too. Just saying.
Yeah, Bronel, big Sask Water guy. How many years you worked there?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Don't sound so proud.
I'm proud.
This interview is with Leah Bathgate Snetham. She is the president of the Alberta Golf Tour and the co-host of the Golf Life Alberta podcast.
Yep.
Hope you enjoy. We'll be back after for Bronel's top 5 golfers that could be football players. Maddie B with Drive the Green Golf. I'm here today with Bronel and Harv. And today on the show, we have the prez of the Alberta Golf Tour and the host of the Golf Life Alberta podcast, Leah Bathgate Snethan, joins us. Leah, thanks.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We're doing fantastic. We're happy for the second week in a row to be taping together. Social distancing, of course. We're all 6 feet apart, ish. These two are pretty close together, but so we wanted to get you on the show just for the listeners that you know are wondering. You have Golf Life Alberta, a fellow podcaster on the show, with you running the Golf Life Alberta social media accounts. In this past March, you ran a bracket, and you have over the past couple years with golf courses in Alberta, and so. We started ours this past year, and we used yours as a little bit of a baseline, a little inspiration, as you will, for ours. So we just wanted to give you an opportunity to chat a little bit about yours, the findings of it, the history of it, and most importantly, who won this year.
Oh, man. It was a bit of a crazy year, obviously, with the whole COVID stuff going down and golf being canceled, even though it wasn't actually going to get going any sooner than it ended up going. I like the way that we kind of like Alberta kind of snuck in. Saskatchewan announced May 15th as the date and Alberta was still not golfing, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh right, Alberta, you can actually open your golf courses tomorrow, like 2 weeks ahead of you guys. So that was an interesting
thanks for digging that knife. We talked about it at length that the first one to announce is always in the worst spot, because then things happen and next thing you know, everyone's golfing and we're sitting here and we thought they were going to, you know, move it up a week, maybe 10 days. No, we had to wait while everyone's posting pics. You're posting pics of golfing in Alberta and we're just sitting here on our hands.
I mean, I was obviously happy with that. And you guys got some good changes out of it, because, like, really, who wanted to do 20-minute intervals anyways, right?
That's a great point.
Yeah, what absolutely.
But, yeah, with the bracket, I got to give props to my podcast co-host, Ryan O'Neill. It was actually his idea originally last year, just as kind of a way, you know, when you start to reach March, and you're a golfer in Canada, that's time. Like, the snow better almost be melted, and these golf courses are starting to maintain the courses. You might be thinking about maybe going out for a round in some more southern parts of the province. He just wanted to kind of get the excitement going. And last year, you know, was our first year. We got a pretty good response, I think around 36,000 votes altogether. And obviously this year, there's a little bit more engagement because there's a few more people, apparently, on social media this March because, you know, they weren't allowed to leave their homes.
Yeah.
So we restructured things slightly. But, yeah, we just kind of split the province into 8 regions. We have so many good golf courses here in Alberta and in very distinct regions, too, which kind of helped us out in that sense. And yeah, ended up more than doubling our vote. We were close to 80,000 votes this year. So
yeah. Lofty goals.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a Cinderella story in 8, so we picked 8 out of all the regions. So these 8 seeds made it. The Winston in Calgary was the 8 seed that surprised everyone. We were calling it the Cinderella story. They were doing videos and they were individually calling out people. Because, you know, on Facebook and Instagram, you can kind of see. Well, I guess you guys didn't do Facebook voting, did you?
Not this
year.
Something to build off of. Let's say that.
Yeah, when you do a poll on Facebook, you can actually click on it and see who voted for what. So they actually would go onto Facebook, see who voted where, and then take it to Twitter and individually call those people out and make them change their vote on Facebook.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, that was one of the things that we found with ours is, and I've said it a few times, that you want to know where loyalties lie and who are the true diehards. Just fire up a poll and let the masses have at it, because we were getting not threats, but you know what I mean.
Backs, like, are up in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. You know what? We got the same thing. Actually, it was easier to play it off this year because we called it the pre-qualifying survey or something like that. So we actually let the masses vote on what the top 8 in each region should be. So like, we took zero responsibility for any of the seeding this year because we did it last year, and yeah, I got that complete. I know with you guys, there was one that was on there twice or something like that. I was kind of keeping an eye at the beginning there. And
you have to point that out.
And I know. People, but you know what? They are so passionate about it and they are riled right up. Not always necessarily about what their seeding ended up being, but who they ended up getting matched against, especially right off the bat.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, we.
Yeah, it's a passionate bunch.
Well, yeah, and the other thing that we found too is, I'm sure you ran into this a lot more than we did, having 3 platforms, is the totaling of the votes, and how you might have a course that wins on one platform but doesn't win the total vote, and then shit hits the fan.
You know what? Brian, again, props to Ryan because he is the organized guru of all of this. We have spreadsheets going and we have scripts that we just copy and paste into everything that we make sure that we write, even though people still would complain and not read, but we very clearly wrote in every single poll, make sure you vote on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were still some people that didn't get it, and then we would just kind of screenshot what our post was and circle whatever.
Yeah,
and you know, yeah, they won on Twitter, you're right, but they lost on Facebook and Instagram. So
the winner of the bracket was Jasper Park Lodge.
It was Jasper Park Lodge, which you cannot even argue with. And
no,
I mean, have you guys had a chance to play at Jasper before?
No,
unfortunately not.
No, but let's put it. We'll put it on the list, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, when you guys make your way out to Alberta, you have to let me know, and I'll meet up with you and golf wherever.
Yeah, I think that's a plan.
Absolutely.
Hopefully Jasper.
Yeah, exactly. The other feather in your cap is obviously the Alberta Golf Tour, which we wanted to touch on a little bit. As golfers in Saskatchewan with the access, well, with no access to something like this, we wanted you to kind of chat a little bit about what the tour is, how it works, how COVID has affected it, and just really kind of letting everyone know about that, because maybe something like that will pop up in Saskatchewan sometime.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I grew up in Regina, and I moved out to Alberta. Man, it would have been in 2004. And it's so funny because, you know, golf, I liked golf. I grew up, for anyone who maybe could relate to this, on the Regent Park par 3 in Regina when it was sand greens. I don't even know if it still exists or not.
I think it does, yep.
So that's where I got my start in golf. And, you know, I graduated to the Lakeview par 3 by the airport and grass greens.
Nice.
After that. And
baby
yeah,
steps.
I was on quote unquote the high school golf team at Usher. But I have to admit, I never actually played like a full length golf course until probably
provincials.
Ooh, 2000. No, I didn't actually compete in high school. Oh. I was on the team, but I didn't do anything. I want to say 2006. Yeah, or 2006 or 2007 is when I actually played my first like full length golf course.
I thought this was like a USC Lori Loughlin thing where he just went on the team, on the crew team, but not actually on the team.
Oh man, well, I can blame my brother who ended up turning into a golf professional. He worked at the Murray forever, so I just kind of was like, I was the annoying little sister, and I would go to the driving range with him and like watch his swing. And so like, from an outsider, you know, if you're not a golf pro who like really knows the golf swing, my swing looks amazing because it's emulated after my golf pro brother.
Nice.
But for anyone who actually knows the golf swing, you know how terrible mine is. But yeah, anyway, so eventually, it was funny because Alberta has these PGA Alberta consumer golf shows every March, which got canceled this year due to COVID. But I always went to them. You got great deals and stuff like that. And I got pulled into this booth by this lady, and she told me to come play this Golf Town National Amateur Series. And I was like, what is this? And I'm like, no, I'm not good at golf. You don't understand. And she's like, well, what do you usually shoot? And she's like, no, you can win these things. And I was like, okay, I'll sign up for one. We'll see. And sure enough, I sucked. I think I shot like 105 or something. It was not good.
Room for improvement.
But over time, the Golf Town series ended up kind of just losing people. And so I kind of decided, you know what, this was really fun. And what was so cool about it was the way that it kind of made, you know, us who really, you know, we look up to the PGA Tour, right? And it made us weekend hackers feel like we were actually like at a professional event, and we were like, we were Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or Ricky Fowler or JT. Like,
right.
We were on the big stage and we were competing. And that's what I wanted to give to golfers. So I kind of took what they did really well and copied that and made a few adjustments along the way. And now here we are 8 years into it. And I mean, this is obviously a very challenging season with COVID and everything, but over time it's kind of moved into a bit of a FedEx Cup format where everyone earns order of merit points at each event and ATT bucks, because of course, rule of amateur status, you can't pay out in cash or anything. So ATT bucks is what they win as part of the prize fund, and you can use that to pay for other tournaments if you wish, or in a pro shop if you want a gift card there, that's fine too. Most people obviously just use it to pay for more tournaments, and right. Yeah, then at the end of the year, the top 32 order of merit finishers end up getting invited to the team match play, you know, because my title is quote unquote president. It's the President's Cup. And yeah, we've got like a team match play event at the end of the year, and it's tons of fun. And really, at the end of the day, it's not all about the competition. It's more about the camaraderie. And we've got five different flights, so we've got scratch golfers and we've got 30 handicaps.
Do you run into some sandbaggers in that, or how do you combat that aspect?
You want the honest answer here?
Absolutely. Yep.
We turn into a pretty tight-knit family very quickly, and any newcomers who end up playing often join that family. And it sounds mean and it's not meant to be, but pretty much anytime anyone wins, they get called a sandbagger.
Oh yeah.
Of course. That's like a rule.
So, you know, if they get really offended by that, they probably are a sandbagger. And if they don't win every single tournament, then obviously they're not a sandbagger and they just had a really good round and they deserve to win. And at the end of the day, we're all supportive, but there is not a single person, including me, on this tour who will accept a sandbagger. So
that's fair.
All eyes are out, and I get heads up anytime anyone thinks that someone is in the wrong flight, and I just move people. I, you know, after one tournament, I would just say, you know what? It's very clear to me that you are more of a 9 handicap rather than a 13, so I'm going to move you down a couple flights, and that's where you'll stay, regardless of what your Golf Canada handicap says.
Right.
It's what I said, and I'm the boss.
That's why you're the press.
So how many, typically how many events are there, and two parts, how many events are there typically in a normal year, and how many would you find that an average tour player would attend? Because I know, obviously, if you're playing it across the province, do you find that a lot of people are making every event, or how many do you have to play to get into the order, or, you know, into the President's Cup? Just kind of an idea of the commitment level if someone was looking to be, you know, a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, if we have anywhere, you know, depending on the year, from, I would say, 15 to 18 events per year. And as time goes on, I would say the amount of people that play most of the events does go up. So if you want to be in that top 32, then you either need to finish top one or two in, you know, five or six tournaments, or you pretty much need to play them all if you're finishing in the middle of the pack.
Wow.
And yeah, so I mean, we've got, it's fun. Every year we've got new regulars that come out, and like I said, we become a family very quickly. So when they come out to that many events, you become a part of team, and you just end up sticking around, and it's awesome. I mean, we're a family that's 200 strong, and then I would say with an extra kind of 100 outliers on the other end of that. So
wow, that's way bigger than I thought it was, to be honest with you. I have a two-part one here. First, are you at all 18 tournaments? And I guess I forgot the second part of my question, so we'll just go with that.
Yes. Usually, I should say, I never missed an event until it would have been last season or two seasons ago. I became the Alberta Callaway apparel rep, and so I ended up actually having, I know this is such a sad story, I had to fly to Miami, all expenses paid, for a week in June, and I had to miss one event per year for the last 2 years. So luckily was able to leave that up to my husband and my child and the rest of the family, because man, everyone, I also have a player advisory committee of like the regulars that are at every single event and at every single championship and all that kind of stuff. So I've got a ton of player helpers, if you will, too. So tons of help. But yeah, for the most part, I am at every single event and I don't get to play in them.
Yeah, that sound just so excited.
Yeah.
No, it's sad. You know what? I tried at first and I think it was year three or four, finally, I went from an 8 handicap to not being able to break 100. And I was like, hey, I want to quit golf, which means if I quit golf, then I quit the tour and I just quit everything to do with golf. And nobody wants that. So I'm just going to take a step back. And I was so focused on, you know, taking pictures of other groups and making sure everyone was in position. I am a pace of play Nazi, in case you don't know that about me. Like, it's
didn't pick it up.
Yeah. It's like, you don't want to mess around pace of play with me. Even my 12-year-old is fully aware of that. So,
nice.
Yeah, awesome. I was just way too consumed with what other groups were doing to focus on my own game. So I just decided it was more fun to not play. And now, now it's more like I'm like the mother goose, and they're my little babies, and I'm so proud of them when they do well and when they improve. And, and I hurt when they hurt, and it's like, it's this mother relationship that's really weird with 300 people, but...
Yeah, grown adults.
Yeah, and that's good. I remember the second part of my question now, so I can ask the second part. How, like, is it the same courses every year? Like, how open are courses to letting you guys run a tournament with them? Like, do you get new people calling you to say bring the tour out here, or is it just the same 18 and it's just these are your stops every week, and it's like that every single year?
So this is a bit of a touchy question for me, especially right now with all the COVID stuff going on. Do my best to introduce like new courses into my rotation. Typically, I will almost never repeat a course year after year, with the exception of my majors, which are my 2-day events, because they're usually like the marquee courses that everyone wants to play no matter what. It doesn't matter if I'm there every year, but I like to change it up on the single day events. The problem that I've had with introducing new courses is we don't have that existing relationship. So when something like this COVID stuff is happening, we don't have that relationship and that level of trust established the way that I do with, you know, the regular courses that I've been at 3 or 4 times now.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's resulted in some canceled tournaments, which has been really unfortunate for everybody involved. So, yeah, I do my best to... I also have, and this might sound a little snobby, but, like, I don't want to play an okay golf course on my schedule.
Yeah,
I want them to be courses that, like you said, like, people are traveling across the province to play these events. Like, I want it to be worth traveling for. So I have a certain caliber of golf course that it needs to be able to make it on my schedule in the first place.
Very nice. I'm having a really hard time getting it out of my head, but all I can think about is, first of all, you will never be me, and second, I forget what I was going to say. I forget your question. Classic MacGruber line for Leah. So time, let's get into rapid fire here. Let's have a little fun. We're going to fire a few at, well, actually, before we get into rapid fire, we did want to talk just briefly about golf in Alberta. Have you got out this year? What are some of the precautions being taken in Alberta right now?
Yeah, you know what? I guess good thing about everything being canceled right now or postponed is the fact that I actually have been able to golf 3 rounds, I think, already this year. And, like, for me, that doesn't usually happen. So that's been really exciting. And, yeah, the precautions, you know, some courses are being, you know, maybe over the top diligent, which is okay. Like, to each their own, that's totally fine. Everyone obviously has a certain level of comfortability with everything that's going on, and to each their own. You know, there's some that have greeters right as you go to enter the parking lot, and they have a sheet of paper and they explain everything to you. And here's what time you can get out of your vehicle. Here's what time you can go to your cart. You need to empty your entire cart, right, like all the garbage and all that kind of stuff yourself. Obviously, all the physical distancing, there's signs everywhere. Most on-course golf courses or bathrooms are not open because there's no one there to clean them. You know, most pro shops just became allowed to open, I think it was last Friday. So that's something new. And of course, there were some pro shops that weren't ready for that because, they weren't even expected. They were given a day and a half of it's like, okay, yeah, you can golf. It was a Thursday afternoon at like 4 p.m. when the premier said you can golf starting on Saturday.
Yeah, well,
so it wasn't even a day and a half.
That was the big difference. For we had 3 weeks to prepare. You guys had 2 days. I mean, they were preparing anyway, but it's like, yep, we're opening Saturday.
Well, you know, it's funny. There were some that weren't, because I was trying to put up an article on the Golf Life Alberta website, and you would not believe the amount of courses. I could not find any information on whether they were opening or right. if they had an opening date or anything like that. So some were definitely ready for sure, but there were some that totally caught off guard by that.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, rapid fire time.
Oh, before we get to that.
Rapid fire time.
We get to that, the big question, like,
oh, yeah.
Are you guys using those pin caddies, or is it pool noodles, or what's the I guess, the golf hole situation in Alberta?
It depends on how much money the course has, I think. everywhere that I have played so far has been a pool noodle. How about you guys?
I know we have a smattering here as well. Our course actually has a very interesting way. Rather than pool noodles, they've cut PVC pipe. And,
yep.
And so it's
better than a pool noodle. Yeah.
I think it's better.
Absolutely. It's less bouncy. The ball will actually just kind of fall and
yep.
sit there, probably. It would be my thought.
Yep.
The pool noodles are bouncy.
Yeah.
Like lots of lip outs, you finding? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if they have them too high. Like the first course we played on opening day, I've heard that they changed it since, but the pool noodle was like almost to the top of the cup. Like,
yeah.
Like I'm talking like a just quarter inch.
Might as well just have raised cups.
The top of the hole.
Bouncing
so
it
the
off
ball
there.
Literally just rolled right across the hole. And it's like, we actually, that was around, we had what could have possibly, it was a COVID ace. I don't know. He hit the pin and he was within a foot of the hole.
Wow.
So
ugh.
It could have been an ace. We don't
Who
know.
Knew?
Those pool noodles were too high that day.
I'm probably counting that.
Yeah.
I'm counting that.
I have a legit one. So.
And that would have been his fourth. Not counting it. No.
All right. Harv, you lead us off.
I think I know the answer maybe, but what's in your bag?
Oh, God. Okay. Are you ready for this mishmash, though?
Yeah, is sure. it all Callaway?
My
no
guess was
idea
all Callaway.
What can of worms you just opened? So anyone who has ever golfed with me will laugh about this. You want to know what kind of driver I have?
Yes.
What year was this? I don't know. I'm going to call it a 2008 burner draw.
Oh,
nice. That is old school.
You know what? I have tried newer drivers, and I don't have the feel that I have with that club, and it is the best club in my bag, and I can't give it up. I don't know what it is.
It's your baby.
Yeah, yeah. My driver is a burner draw from over a decade ago. Irons, yes, Callaway XRs. I think they're like a 2015 club. I don't keep super new stuff in my bag. Cleveland wedges and a Odyssey White Hot putter.
Very nice. How many career aces do you have?
I've won at Tor Hill.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
East number 3.
Nice. So we got 2 between the 4 of us. Yep.
Yeah, whatever.
Yep, perfect.
Wow, that's impressive. My 12-year-old got one last year.
Yes. 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 So we have
him. He was on his GoPro recording his round and got it on camera and everything. I'll have to share the video with you guys after this.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, yeah. That's fantastic. Well, good news, guys. You got it 22 years before you guys.
Whatever. Probably better than us. So.
He's amazing.
Now that you have an ace, this one might be a little bit easier, but would you rather never 3-putt ever again or get an albatross? Just one albatross.
Never 3-putt ever again. That's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
For me, it's albatross just because...
Yeah, just because you want to say...
I don't 3-putt anyways, so...
Wow. Yeah.
That's exactly
and,
what I was
because
thinking.
You don't have an ace. And because you don't have an ace. Yeah. What's your favorite, not including your home course, what's your favorite Alberta course?
Oh. Do you know how many beautiful mountain golf courses are out here?
Yeah, this is a
you got to pick one.
For the president, it's tough too because you got to pick your favorite kid.
Right, I know. You know what? I got to go with where I play the best, and that would be at Stewart Creek.
Stewart Creek.
That's in Canmore.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, beauty golf course.
Okay, building on that one, I mean, you mentioned there's so many nice mountain courses. Everyone knows the popular ones in Alberta. What's the top three hidden gem courses in Alberta?
Oh, boy. I like to think they're not hidden gems anymore because of the work that we've done with Golf Life Alberta. But
great answer.
I'm going to say... I technically don't have a home track, if I was to name one, I would call it a hidden gem. Pine Hills and Rocky Mountain House, 100% for sure. I would also say Innisfail, but again, that's a 27 hole track, and I think the secret's out on that one. Oh, and another hidden gem. I got to say, I played the renovated Crow's Nest Pass last year. I fully admit, every time I have driven past that golf course, there was, I called it the Highway 9, and there was these 9 holes that were just like a goat track. Well, I don't know if it was actually a goat track because I'd never played it, but it didn't interest me. It was like, cool, there's a course in the middle of the mountains, and it's literally in like a farmer's field. At least nine of the holes are in this farmer's field. That is now the driving range, and Gary Browning went in and redesigned a whole bunch of holes, and they've rebuilt the clubhouse at the top of the hill, and it is like the most amazing golf course ever. So yeah, highly recommend Crow's Nest Pass. That one caught me by surprise last year.
That's a good list.
Really good. What's your favorite Saskatchewan golf course?
This is embarrassing, but okay, you need to keep in mind that I didn't start golfing full-length golf courses till I moved out to Alberta. Okay,
so mine's wide open.
I honestly don't even know how to answer this because I've only played Murray and Tor, I think.
Oh, I guess you got to pick one.
That's all I can remember. It was like a really long time ago.
So which one is it?
So which one is it?
Well, I mean, now I obviously have to say the East 9 at Tor because that's where I have my hole-in-one.
Easy answer.
But, yeah. God, actually, no, I like the North 9 probably the best out of all three of those.
This summer, what's your go-to / favorite backyard / drinking game?
Oh, God. I have 2 kids. Do you think I play drinking?
No, like a game.
Yeah, like a game, like cornhole or...
Ladder ball or
something. Or monkey nuts or whatever it's called.
God. Washer toss, probably.
Oh, washer toss. Nice.
Well, that's a good one.
Or golf pong. We actually, handmade golf pong 2 years ago now. So we bring it out to championship for the Alberta Golf Tour. So, yeah.
Nice.
Golf pong or washer toss.
All right.
Okay, so we ask everyone this, but what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen on a golf course, whether that's you playing, whether that's in one of the tournaments you're running, whatever, just something that is just like, that's just weird.
I feel like I should have been more prepared for this question.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. It's put you on the spot for sure. But,
yeah,
I mean, I would think you'd see a lot of weird stuff running that many tournaments.
I mean, I do.
You don't have to throw any names on these people.
But you can.
Okay, well, I would say, probably the weirdest thing that I ever saw was... So, at Stewart Creek, the front nine, basically, the front six, essentially, climbs a mountain, and then 7, you kind of drop back down. A guy literally walked off... 5th or 6th hole down to the very bottom because he almost got in a fist fight with somebody in his group in the middle of one of my tournaments.
Oh, nice. And he expelled himself.
I would have to say, I was on the 18th green taking pictures. It was a modified shotgun that day, so I had groups starting. Most of them were starting on the back, but that group started on one. And yeah, it was like the weirdest thing to see one of my players walking down the two trails. If anyone's ever played Stewart Creek, like, you know what I'm talking about. That is not a hill that you should be walking. It is so steep. And it was just odd. He called me off the green and explained the situation and said that he was going to go. And yeah, that was it.
Do they get paired then with strangers? Or if you have, say, three buddies and all in different flights, do you get to play together in those tournaments?
No, not if you're in different flights. I pair by flight. On a two-day event, like at Stewart Creek, I don't mind pairing people who know each other together on the first day.
Right.
But on second day, which is when this happened, then you should be playing based on with whoever, based on the score that you guys shot on the first day.
Yep.
So that it's more competitive coming in, and you know what your playing partners are kind of sitting at. So yeah, they were in, I think it was actually like the final group of the champ play. Like, they were like by far my best helpers. And yeah.
Well,
I mean, I was happy that somebody chose to walk off instead of a fist fight happening, because I don't want that at my events. But yeah, it was crazy. It was a little bit nuts. And it's funny because, I mean, one of the guys ended up moving out to Ontario. And so, like, that's the only event he ever played in his entire life. and then, yeah, the other one played one more that season, and I haven't seen him since either. So that was a bit of a downer.
Yikes.
Yeah,
but bonus points for the winner of the fight. Order of merit.
Who got
fight
that?
And flight.
Actually, I think the guy who didn't walk off, I believe, is the one who ended up winning flight that time.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to stick around. That made me have a follow-up question. What's, like, the craziest rules violation or something you had to crack down on someone out of one of your tournaments, like someone trying to pull a fast one, or
on mine? No, you know what, it wasn't even anyone trying to pull a fast one. I felt so bad for the guy. So it was at our championship, which is a four-day event. We were at Wolf Creek, which has 36 holes, so we played two rounds on each hole. I think it was like, I don't know, day three or something like that. I always sit on either the ninth hole or the 18th hole to take pictures of the players. Like, that's what I do. I just explained that Stewart Creek, that's what I was doing. So I was on nine, and again, champ flight. He's coming in, I'm taking pictures, and his approach shot on the old course, ninth hole, if anyone's ever played that, it's, you're going over a gully, you got like 150-yard carry, and to a very narrow green. Anyways, his shot goes into the trees, and I was like, okay, I totally saw where that went. I'm going to go keep an eye on it, right? So I go eye up his ball so that he doesn't have to lose one or whatever.
Oh,
and
boy.
I watched, this is the year before the rules changed, okay? So all the old rules are still in effect. I watch him, first of all, pick up a tree stump and move it. And I was like, oh God, no, what are you doing? You're in a hazard. This is a red. It was clearly painted red. And I was like, okay, no, I'm not about to say anything in the middle of, like, he's already frazzled because he's in a hazard. Like, he's a scratch golfer. Like, he's not used to being in a place like that. Then I watch him take ground with practice swings.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, no, what are you doing?
He's trying
and
to win.
And then he switches clubs, and he takes ground again. And I was like, dude, stop the bleeding. Please. So I let him punch out. I let him finish the hole because I'm not about to rattle him even more, like, obviously, before the hole ends. He ended up, I think he got a six on a par four. So he's already pissed as a champ lighter that he just doubled a hole. And as he's walking to his cart, I'm kind of walking after him, and I was like, hey, so, you know, when you were down in the hazard there, remember when you moved that log? And he's like, oh, shit. And he just kind of puts his hand over his head, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay. Yeah, so that was like one stroke. I was like, yeah. Remember how you took a bunch of practice things and took ground?
Oh, man.
He's like, oh, fuck. So, yeah, sorry, can I swear on your podcast?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
so he ended up actually making a nine. I didn't penalize him for every single practice thing that he took. So
like,
yeah, it's a one stroke and a two stroke added on to that six, so a nine on a par four. So he was super happy. I don't think he's actually been back since either.
Quick nine. Yeah, he's embarrassed.
With those hard ass rules, we would.
right?
With eagle eye out in the ninth.
Watching people and calling them out on their infractions, but I couldn't not. Obviously, I saw it. I had to say something. So. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that's good.
All right. Two more, I think.
Yeah, two more.
If you could come back as any animal, what would it be?
I heard the University of Regina actually used this as an interview question at one point, so I thought about the answer at one point in my life. Mm. If I could come back as an animal, maybe a bird.
Oh boy!
Bronell hates birds. Bronell hates birds.
They terrify him.
Like terrified.
What's, not terrified.
What's the name of it?
You know what? That's good because all my players are terrified of me when they see me come up to their group on a golf course. So like that's great very fit. Fitting.
Yeah, being able to fly would be pretty cool though.
Yeah.
It would be.
Yeah, this guy like he hates birds.
I would like to be a bird though.
You'd love to
because I could fuck with people then.
Yeah, like you.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was more thinking about like the drone-like views of golf courses and mountains and rivers and stuff. But I mean, yeah, you could totally fuck with people.
Shit on people.
Yeah, and just shit on them. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we really opened up the old curse jar here for the last 4 minutes.
Quick buck in the jar there.
Yeah, and I don't know how to edit out these swears, so I guess they're staying in. Last one. Are you? Big. This is going to be a big one. You're already a bird person. So, are you a Coke or a Pepsi girl?
I don't drink pop.
There it is. We haven't had one of those in a while.
We haven't had one. Nope. You're in the same boat as many of the professional athletes we interview on this show. Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah, you know, just call me a professional athlete. That's fine.
Those sugary beverages are bad for you.
No, it's not even the sugar. I'm just too much of a wimp to handle the carbonation. Like, I don't drink beer. I don't drink, like, it's a struggle at a golf course, honestly, when you're not a carbonated drinker, to get anything. Because it's like, if they have Twisted Tea.
I was
going to
say, Twisted Tea is your go-to.
It's fine. But, like, yeah, I can't, like, there's no beer, no coolers, nothing with carbonation. I can't do it. I'm a wimp.
Yeah, fair enough.
Screwdrivers.
Oh, nice. Orange juice.
Yeah, I don't like orange juice.
I don't know why I said that.
It's Twisted Teas.
I don't even like them.
I don't even like them. Yeah, Twisted Teas are blast. American Vintage.
Oh, yeah. American Vintage, yeah. Those will get India. Well, Leah, we really appreciate you joining us. Great insight into your role in Golf Life Alberta and the Alberta Golf Tour. We had a lot of fun, and we really appreciate you joining us. And we were kind of tossing around the idea of seeing what the winner of the Saskatchewan bracket can do against the winner of the Alberta bracket. So we might have to make something like that happen.
Oh, interesting. I like that. Maybe it means, okay, so who won your guys' again?
Waskasoo.
Okay. I need to get there. I also need to get to Evergreen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, they were Final Four as well.
You guys ever come to Alberta, we for sure make our way out to JPL.
Okay, noted.
And wherever else along the way. And then when I make my way to Saskatchewan, we'll go up north and play Waskasoo and maybe Nipawin and wherever else. Campbell Lake is pretty good, isn't it?
Arv's shaking his head.
Arv's shaking his head. He lives up there or has got a summer place up there. So, but we'll make something happen for sure. So,
yeah, I like that.
Really appreciate you joining us. Had a lot of fun, and look forward to following the tour results as we get into the season here.
Yeah, absolutely, and hopefully, maybe we'll have you guys on the Golf Life Alberta podcast very soon.
All right,
sounds good.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Leah for joining the boys. Yeah, a few little takeaways coming out of that interview. First of which is as any. Prospective tour goes through its ups and downs and runs into sandbaggers and stuff. I think it's something that you can, for those of you that haven't heard of the Alberta Golf Tour, just go look it up and see what they do because
it's cool.
It's pretty impressive.
It's, like I said to her, it's way bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah. Like, it's big.
Like, you could be playing every single weekend in the summer.
Yeah, like I think I think they've it's every other week almost. So thanks to her, I mean the bracket challenge that they run, 64 courses is impressive as well. I like that they had like a vote before. And it's just like, yep, you know what, we're washing our hands of the seeding and the courses involved.
Well, we talked about having a couple play-ins.
Yeah.
Like a 6-11 and a couple 16s.
So
it's that'd be okay as long as we pick the courses. Yeah. And then the fans can rank them.
Yeah, that's all
right. Or that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
But also, it'd be nice to do 64. I just don't think we could get to 64 legit matchups.
Yeah, it's tough. We don't have the pool, so to speak.
You'd have to go regions then.
Yeah, regions.
But still, you could maybe get like 45, and then you'd have 20 that are just going to get mopped.
Yeah. Sand greens.
Yeah. And then, weirdest moment, wasn't bad. Little fist fight guy walking down a cliff.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Like what?
All of them are different.
I don't know, like. What could go on?
Yeah, what would have happened to make the most fist fight?
To almost fist fight.
It had to have been a rules violation, which was also funny. A good story from her.
Yep.
But that's the only thing I think of is a guy called another guy on a rule, and he's like, no, I did not.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you want to throw down? Sure you did. Let's fight about it.
Yeah. Lots of Sung Kangs in the world.
Yes, sir. All right, Bronell, you got to finish this episode off with... A doozy of a top five.
We haven't had a top five
in a long time.
I know. I've been trying to rack my brain for the obscure ones I usually do, but nothing came up this week.
Next week.
Hopefully.
Inspired by the match, I'm going top five current PGA players with the best chance to play professional football. I mean, none of them are going to or ever will, but this is a fun thing.
Number one's blatantly just listen. Obvious.
Yeah, I got a couple that have to be on the list.
We'll see. So you got to assume that most of these guys are going to be putting on a bit of weight if they're going to play.
I wasn't assuming that. No.
Oh, no, I guess as is.
Wow,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. Like by no means am I thinking Justin Thomas is going to be on this list, but I mean, if he's going to put on some weight,
yeah. Hey, just imagine if he grew like 6 inches and put on 100 pounds.
Yeah. No, I'm not. You can't grow. That's not something you can do. Weight is something that you can get.
Okay.
So
is Henrik Stenson going to be on here? You're going to say if he puts on 100 pounds, he's a tight end?
Nope.
Okay.
All right, top five. Number five, Ricky Barnes. He's actually 6'2", 200 pounds. Did you guys know that? Because I didn't think he was anywhere near that.
I saw a pick.
He played tackle and tight end in high school. I had no idea he's that big, so I'm putting him as a tight end.
I would have said if you asked me Ricky Barnes' height and weight, I would have said 6'1", 180. / every man.
Yeah, the average 6'2", 200 male. Is pretty.
Yeah, the average white male. Average white male doesn't play in the NFL. That's a bad one.
Huh? He played. Do you realize how little the guys there are in this list?
Yeah. I also realized.
If you played football in high school, you're making the list.
I was just going to say, like, you could reel off Martin Traynor, a bunch of guys that are just like.
Yeah, well,
6'2", 200 guys. That's like the average golfer. But go on. I don't want to take away from your.
So my NFL comparable for him is going to be Canadian tight end Luke Wilson, and that also brings up a point. Remember the actor Luke Wilson?
Yep. Yes.
Where has he been?
Wow. No, that's Owen Wilson.
He hasn't been in anything in the last 10 years.
Maybe he's just enjoying himself.
Like Anchorman. Cameo in Anchorman.
15 years ago.
Yeah. Might have to dig into that and bring that up next pod.
Did you look into Luke Wilson's height and weight by chance?
The NFL player?
Yeah.
Oh, he's like 6'5" for
okay,
sure.
Okay. Just
every single tight end in the NFL is 6'5" or
okay,
more.
Okay, so the comparable is in no way like a height and weight comparable. Just like,
no. Just who?
Just what, a tight like end that
a backup tight end.
Just the reason to fit in Luke Wilson. Where is that guy now?
That is the main reason.
One of the Gronkowski brothers, not Rob.
Okay. Shut up, you guys. Number four, Jon Rahm.
Yep. Has to be in there.
6'2", 220. He's
that's
the big
a D lineman.
But he seems kind of lazy to me, so I don't think he's playing D or O. I got him as my kicker. And my NFL comparable is Sebastian Janikowski.
Okay, I can get behind that.
He just trots out there and kicks field goals.
I would just have him, since you're talking about adding weight, like he'd be an interior lineman.
No, I'm just saying some of the guys could add weight.
That's
some
where I thought you were going with it.
Whatever. Okay, never mind about the adding weight comment.
You said it. It was your comment.
It's burned in my brain now, yeah. So.
Yeah. R.I.P. all the helmets on the sideline after Ram misses a kick. But anyways, number three, Mark Leishman.
Yep.
Listed at 6'2", 210, but he seems way bigger than that to me.
Does seem like a big dude.
Like a big teddy bear, but I think he could actually maul some people. So I got him playing guard.
Yeah, that's what, like Rom. But yep. Also, Mark Leishman being 210 is awfully generous.
You know what? It actually said 200, and I changed it to 210.
Wow.
Because I don't think he's 200.
I think he's 230.
Yeah.
Easily.
I also thought he was taller than 6'2", but...
Yeah.
NFL comparable, Steelers Pro Bowl guard David DeCastro. Mm.
Chiefs were supposed to draft
one of the best pulling guards ever. Also, Leishman's yard on Instagram.
Oh.
Top 5 yard in the world, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Didn't he post today something about like yesterday. Almost there?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Number two, I'm thinking Harv might think this guy was number one. Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes, he should have been number one.
Well, we'll see.
Well, Brooks is number one now.
Well, we'll see. 6'1", and I don't even know what he weighs right now.
Could be 310. Who knows?
Yeah. He said
maybe he put on all that weight.
He said his goal weight was 235, so I'm assuming that's what he's at.
And I can't remember which one of you two said he was a small linebacker last week.
Yeah, so he is playing middle linebacker, and since he's actually pretty smart, I got to give him the green dot on the helmet.
Oh, wow.
He's running the defense.
Nice. So Ray Lewis, your best buddy.
No, but his NFL comparable is Brian Urlacher.
Oh, nice. Sean Lee.
Somebody earmarked this pod because this is the nicest I've ever talked about Bryson, and I never will talk nice about him ever again. So
I've earmarked
this is it. Okay, number one. Gary Woodland.
Oh, nice. When you said you were going to do this list, I had Rom, Woodland, and Brooks. That was it.
Gary
Brooks
Woodland.
And you make the list.
Gary, on mention, but we'll get to it. Gary Woodland is the best all-around athlete on the PGA Tour.
Probably.
I'm putting him at fullback. Just because I think he could run over some guys. He played Div 3 college basketball. Not that great. But also played high-level baseball as a shortstop and leadoff hitter.
So, wow.
I mean, he's played everything.
Fullback is a great spot, too.
Yep. I like him, so I'm giving him the comparable of Niners fullback Kyle Juszczyk.
Juszczyk.
Yeah, thank you. I knew you'd know it, and I didn't.
Oh, really? I thought you were, like, purposely
I thought it was Juszczyk.
Oh, yeah, it's Juszczyk.
Anyways. Yeah.
I actually thought you were just, like... playing it up like Juszczyk.
Well, we can edit that out after.
No. So I told you I do not know how to run this editor.
Harv would have had Bryson one.
Yep.
You would have had Woodland one or
I would Bryson? I would have went Woodland, Rom. Brooks, Woodland, Brooks, Bryson, Rom, anyone else.
Yeah, so
well,
Brooks,
here's why I had Bryson one, because I didn't know you were going to do the adding weight thing.
Back to that. So Brooks was on my own mentions, but I figured he'd just get headhunted by so many guys that
yes.
he'd have a concussion
yeah. yes,
every week.
Everyone hates him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So he'd be out of the league right away.
I also didn't think you were going to go current, and I thought Lumpy should be on there for sure.
Oh, yeah. I do have Barnrad in my own mentions. Just throw him at nose tackle, and good yeah. luck running between the tackles on him. Lee Westwood's in my own mentions.
Oh, yeah. Guys, there's a fullback.
Brick shithouse right there.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who would be a wideout or even a slot receiver.
Like, Rory?
Yeah, okay.
Rory could play that. Slot receiver or slot corner yeah. maybe.
That's, I don't think Ricky's tall enough to play slot receiver.
No. He's a motocross guy anyways.
Julian Edelman. but yeah, I
Rory's
can't think of like
a giant. They're like the same size.
I'm just trying to think of who would be a receiver.
Yeah.
I think we're going too many big names here. We got to go more obscure.
Yeah, you got to go deeper for sure. But
like Higgsy's in interior lineman.
My last on mention was DJ. I had him on the list playing tight end until I saw him carrying his bag last week. Plus, I'm not even sure he could run. Like, if a bear was chasing him, could he even run?
Has
Dustin Johnson?
Has Dustin Johnson ever run in his life?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not even sure he's briskly walked.
I actually don't think he's ever run.
No.
You could add Sergio on that list as a kicker for sure.
Sergio. Oh, yeah.
Punter.
Yeah. I think he does. I think he plays soccer.
Martin Gramatica.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly who he is. That's a hell of a list.
Martin. But
yeah, so I was researching this a bit today, and there was like an article about different PGA players that can play different sports. And then it gets to DJ and it says he played high school basketball. It's like,
well, of course.
Cares.
Yeah, of course he did. Yeah, he's like 6'4". He's probably dunking and just...
Yeah, that was the last time he ran. That was the last time he ran.
Everyone else had a huge write-up and DJ's just was one line, played high school basketball.
There's no way he even ran at that. Like, he just sauntered up the court, yeah. Got to the key, took the ball and just...
Yeah, yeah. He's like the 7-footers that used to play, like Manute Bol, who'd just like lumber down, yeah. Get the ball, put it in and lumber back.
Yeah. And my last on mention was Hale Irwin, if he was actually active, because he actually might have been number one. He played QB and cornerback for the University of Colorado and made their all-century team. Fun fact.
Wow.
Yep, very impressive. He should probably be on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dustin Johnson, basketball, never stop, never stopping.
Now that's a movie I would watch.
Yeah. All right, that wraps up episode 115. Thanks again to Leah Bathgate Snetham. As well as to Player Golf, go pick up your shirts.
Do it.
Just do it. We'll be back next week with a whole another action-packed episode for you. But until then, it's time for us to hit the clubhouse. Sunset, 40 miles to Canada, my truck. Across Montana, Ian Tyson sang a lonesome lullaby. And so I cranked up the radio, 'cause there's just a little more to go.